We're starting a series of 10 teachings or so. You didn't get the email, but I think everybody else did get it. You got it. No, he did it. Yeah. One of the topics is prayer, and I think that one will cover Luke 18 for that. So, but to start off, our first topic is terminating with the past, and we'll look at the first aspect of that, which is a very important one. So, Luke 18, and we'll be reading... I keep on saying Luke 18. Matthew 18, from verse 23. Can someone read? To 35.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant... His master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart."
Okay, let's pray. Blessed Lord, help us, O Lord, as we come to this important topic in your word. Father, anoint me and anoint each one of us and anoint your word, O Lord, so that it will actually make a difference in our lives. Give us the power to accept what you have to say and to obey it, O Lord. For our own spiritual blessing, and for the blessing of many people around us. Lord, join us at this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's this king? Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king wanted to settle accounts with his servant. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents, by estimation, is millions of dollars at the time. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay his debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay I'll pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Who's this king? Who does this king represent, or who does he stand for? Yeah, I agree. The king is Jesus. Right. There is all. Right. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a king. Yeah. And Jesus is the king in heaven. Yeah. He's also the judge in heaven. Yeah. So, there is this. The time came when this king had to settle accounts with his servants. There is coming a day when Jesus will have to be settling accounts with people. And this servant, of course, is you and I. It's something that lots of people don't want to think about. But it's true. You're headed for accounts. I told someone one time, it's useful to actually like write down what you've been doing with your time. Just to see, you know, what are you putting your time into? And she told me, oh, I don't think I want to know what I'm doing with my time. I didn't say this to her, but I thought, well, if you don't want to know it now, there comes a day when you have to settle accounts with God. And you don't want to look at the account for the first time on that day, you know. You kind of want to look at it ahead of time so that you make adjustment. But in any case, there's accounts to be given someday for each one of us. What we did, what we didn't do, what we did, why we did it, with who we did it, for what motives, for what purpose. There's a day coming for account. And in the Bible, it's amazing to see how God keeps His account so faithfully with people. He had told the Israelites to every 7 years they were to leave, not to work the land for 1 year. But for 77 years they never did it. For 490 years they never did it. And so every 7 year they were supposed to leave 1 year, let the land rest for 1 year. And for 490 years they never did it. So that was 70 years. So at the end of those 490 days, God says, you guys are going to captivity for 70 years so that my land can rest. They had forgotten, but God had not forgotten. And so, you have this thing, this idea that there are accounts, and God is not going to forget those like what you owe. He's not going to forget what you owe. There are people who hope that somehow God is going to forget. And listen, it says here that this man was his servant. So he did things for him. But he still was indebted. He still was owing something. So then, the question is, what was it that this man owed? What is this debt that he owed the king? What's this millions of dollars?
Accumulation
of sin. What?
Sin.
Yeah. The debt is sin. No, the debt is sin. Jesus tells this is something that he used at least twice to describe sin. And he talks about this woman who, a sinful woman who came and wept at his feet, and everybody around Jesus say, whoa, how can Nehalah, such a sinful woman, to weep at his feet? And Jesus said that he gave the people around him a parable. He said that two people owed money. One person owed a lot, the other person was, and they canceled the debt above. Who will love more? He was saying that this woman's sin was a lot. Using this analogy of sin being debt. So, if you think of it, no one likes to have debts. No one likes to have credit cards filled with, you know, money that you have to go and pay back. And the interesting thing is, according to Jesus in this story, you have a huge debt to God. And Jesus put it in orders of millions. Thousands of talents, which would be millions of dollars. So, My question to you is, do you really realize that you owe God millions and millions of dollars? Do you realize that you owe God millions and millions and millions of dollars? If you think of it, think of the years of your life, right? All the lies, all the anger, all the jealousy, all the dishonoring your parents, all the, you know, envying your brother's clothes, pant, or his wife, or her husband, or their car, or their home, or their grades, or whatever. If you pile up those things, you know, from the time you were little, from the time you know, the stealing the cookies and the, you know, they ask you, did you take this? No, I didn't take it. Did you break that? No, I didn't break it. And you just keep on going. And why didn't you do this? Oh, I was actually busy, but the real reason is that you forgot and you were just negligent and you lied to, you know, save yourself. You add those things, they become a lot. A huge debt. If every time that you sin, you had to pay $10, by now your debt will be huge, right? It'll be humongous. Probably every day of your life, you committed at least one sin, in one way or the other.
More than that, yeah.
Yeah, so you multiply 365 times 10 times the number of sins, the average number of sins per day, times how long you've lived. It's a lot. But you see, that's what people don't understand about this whole matter of sins, right? It's that our sin, our debt towards God is huge. Our debt towards God is humongous. You cannot calculate it. It's really infinite. And if you think of what actually sin does to God and what sin does to other people, and you factor that in, it gets really big. And so we have this situation where you had this servant to this king who owed him a lot of money. Now, here is the another question. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Why? So this man was pleading for something. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Yet, in response, this master, rather than telling him, yes, okay, go take more time and go, you know, try to pay it off. Go get 3 jobs and pay it off. He rather tells him, no, go away, I cancel your debt. Why? What do you think he canceled his debt as opposed to allowing him to go ahead and try to pay it off?
Redemption that Jesus offers, so it's like a continuation of the metaphor. So.
Maybe.
He'd probably never get
his money.
Yeah, it's so
big.
It's not really
viable.
I guess
the guy thinks, so the stupid guy, that makes him think he must be so stupid that they can pay me back. Let me have pity on you.
I think that's exactly it. There was no way this man was going to pay this millions of dollars. He was very ambitious, and he meant well. And he was motivated by the threat of what would happen if he cannot pay. So he was like, please, you know, don't take everything I own, don't take my wife and my children and everything I have, you know, like the, because the master told him, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him thousands of talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The man could not pay it. He could not pay the debt back. He had to take, to pay back that debt, it had to cost him his own life. His own life was not enough. It had to cost him the life of his wife. It had to cost him the life of his children. And in other words, he had to pay by dying and by everything else that he owned being burnt. Yet, this man didn't understand that. Instead of being honest and saying, "Master, look, I know I owe you a lot of money, but there is no way I'm going to pay this thing off. Do you have any other ways that you settle your accounts with your servants other than they're paying the whole thing?" This man thought that he could actually go and pay this off. What does this represent? It represents people who try to settle their account with God by trying to do things. They say, "God, I know I owe you lots of money. I owe you, I've sinned a lot. But please just be patient with me. Lord, one more month, I'll be a good person. Lord, just another year, I'll strive hard. I'll make some self-improvement over here and some self-improvement over there. Just give me time. It's all I need. I'm going to focus. I'm going to try to be a good person." And you have all sorts of people. They try to do community service. We're talking to one of them last night. He really thinks that going out there, you know, trying to help people out there in India, it's going to get him to heaven. And, well, I don't know if he actually believes it's going to get him to heaven. But he said that makes him a good person. And he, interestingly enough, there was an article in the tech that Sam pointed out to us where this person has been going to India to help the people there. But he said they saw lots of poor people there and they didn't have, you know, much. They described a very dire situation. But I said, but the people were happy. So this guy coming from the United States, thinking that the greatest need of these people is actually the houses and the roads and the stuff, sees these people happier than anything he's seen in the U.S., starts wondering, do I really have something to help these people? He kind of starts seeing that the people who are in the U.S. have the roads and have the infrastructures and the money and the MIT and the rest are actually the ones who need a smile on their face and the ones that actually kind of need the help. And that's one thing that you realize as you, you know, go around and do actually try to help people. You find that you're actually quite helpless. You actually can't help them much. In any case, those are the ways that people are trying to impress God by doing good things, by trying to improve themselves. You'll never be able to pay that debt off like that. And this is where the Christian faith differs from all the others, in that every other religion tells you, okay, God is here and you're here, right? Okay, just try to do good things. If you pray enough time, you're going up and you do good, more good things. Give your money to the poor, give alms and go to prayers and do things. And then you get, in some way, somehow, at the end, God is going to look at your good deeds, your bad deeds, and see that on the average, you were quite, you know, a good person. You weren't that bad, and He's going to let you in. So the truth is this. God is here, and maybe when you were born, you were kind of here or something like that. Then you began stealing cookies, and here's what began to happen. then you began, you know, lying, and then you weren't going down. Then as you got older, you began lusting after girls, and you went down here. And after that, you began being rebellious to your parents big time, and you went going down here. And then you started being jealous, and with time, your debt is only going to increase. And God has to come down and meet you at this level and say, look, I forgive your debt. It's canceled. That's what Christianity is, and that's how it differs from everything else. There is no way I can pay my debt. There's no way you can pay yours. Now, the most important question I have for you is, we know that this man went and later met his friend who owed him how much? A few denarii, which is, well, okay, 100 denarii, which would be a few dollars by the same scale. He grabbed him by the neck, choked him, and say, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. What does that represent? There are people who owe you a lot. Just like you owe God, there are people who owe you things. Maybe they insulted you. Maybe they hurt you. Maybe they did something that was not good to you or to your parents or to your father or to your mother. And they are indebted to you. And the truth of the matter is, they can't really pay you back. Even if they came and apologized, that will not undo the fact that they hurt you at some point. And so you have this situation that is quite similar, where if people owe you things that they cannot pay, just like you owe God things that you cannot pay. Only the truth is this, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. Your debt to God is infinitely higher than any debt that any human being owes you. The debt that you owe God is by far bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger than any debt that human beings owe you. And so Jesus basically is telling us that if a person who owes God millions and millions and millions of dollars has someone who owes him a few dollars and does not forgive him, that person is in deep, deep trouble. On that day, it will be impossible for God to cancel their debt. And listen, I find this to actually be quite scary. You mean if I don't forgive people, this person that did these evil things to me, God actually is not going to forgive me? You mean that if there was somebody who 10 years ago did something to me, and I have not forgiven that person, and I'm continuing to choose not to forgive that person, I am going to go to hell? Yes, that's what Jesus is saying. So it becomes important that once we come to Jesus and we start this new life with Him, the first step in terminating with our past is to make sure that we forgive people who have sinned against us. Jesus said in that prayer, "Our Father, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." People pray that all the time. People pray that all the time. But they are bitter against people. They are angry. They have grudges. They see someone and their hearts go, you know, this person, or the phone rings and they see the person, say, why is this person even calling me? And, you know, I don't know, you log on to your IM and the person logs in and you say, you know, that's, I wasn't expecting that person, you know. And there's this, or somebody start talking about someone, the name comes up, you say, oh yeah, I know them, they did this to me this other day, and stuff like that. So Jesus is saying that if that's you, you're an unmerciful servant. You can remain a servant. You can do good things for Jesus. You can go preaching, doing the things that servants of Jesus do. But on the days of the accounts, when your account is open and you have your millions of dollars, and then they show over there these people that, you know, owed you a little bit, and you never forgive them. Actually, he said that he grabbed him by the neck, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And this is the attitude that we have with people. In one way or the other, we hold them by the neck, we grab them and we start choking them. You did this to me. This is your fault. I told you not to do this, and you did it to me again. And I have, you know, you knew this wasn't right. What? And we bring this, we bring to people back, you know, we make sure they remember that they owe us something. And we show it to them in many ways. We either shut them out of our lives in one way or the other. If he's there, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm going to shut down. And I'm just going to be in my room. I'm not going to talk to anybody. And this way, I'm going to punish him. When he comes around and he tries to talk to me, I'm just going to be like a dead person. So they know that, you know, they should not be treating me like this the next time. And when you're doing that, you're choking the person. You're telling them, pay me back what you owe. And I demand it. And the truth is, they can't. Even if they came and knelt before you and pleaded for your forgiveness, it will not take away the fact that they owe you something. And there are some, you know, and the truth is this, you cannot avenge sin with sin. Only God can avenge sin. You cannot avenge sin by committing another sin. By trying to do that, you're only increasing your debt to God. And the sad thing is this. If somebody did something wrong to you, they actually go to God and repent, and God will forgive them. They can go to God, repent to God, and they can come to you and repent to you, and God will forgive them what they did against you. But by your holding the grudge against them, you're putting yourself in a situation where, though you were the one who was hurt before God, you turn out to be the one who is worse off than the person who actually committed the offense against you. And so, it becomes extremely important for us to go through our lives and to check, who have I not forgiven? They might not have come to you to repent. They might actually not even think that they owe you anything. And there are people who think they don't owe God anything. They think that they've done, you know, some good things here and there, and that makes up for the bad things that they've done. They'll be shocked on judgment day when they find that they owe a lot because of all the sins they've been committing. But it doesn't matter. Even if the person doesn't think they owe you anything, even if the person doesn't believe that they have anything to give you back, you have to make sure that you forgive them. You have to make sure that you release them. That so far as your heart is concerned, they've been forgiven. Now, the person still needs forgiveness. Your forgiving them doesn't release their debt. Only God can cancel it. There is forgiveness that has to come from you, and there is forgiveness that they have to receive from God. The forgiveness that they have to receive from God is dependent on their repenting to God and repenting to you. Their debt towards God, God will not forgive them until they come and repent to God and make things right with you. However, your forgiving them does not depend on anything. It just depends on you. You can cancel their debt, and God demands you to do that. And the reason for that is only God can work out this settlement. There's nothing that person can really do for you that will cancel his debt. And there's nothing that you can do for him. You need to cancel his debt simply because you also have a huge debt to God that he has canceled on your behalf. And so forgiveness only has to do with you and God. The person doesn't have to be there. You need to go before God and say, Lord, I just released this person. He's done this thing and this thing against me, but I forgive them. And listen, there is such freedom that comes into the life of a person once you forgive people and release them for the things they've done against you. There is such freedom that comes into your life. There is such peace, such liberation that comes from just letting people go. Release their debt towards you. Now, you can say, Freddie, okay, you're making it sound easy. This person did some horrible thing to me. You don't know the trauma that what they did caused to me or to our family or to anything like that. Yeah, that might be true. But listen, the truth is that the debt that you owe God is by a huge, huge factor, by an infinite factor, worse than whatever they've done to you. You know what your sin did? Your sin caused Jesus to go on a cross and die. That's the trauma it caused. Your sin caused Jesus to leave from heaven, come to earth for 33 years as a lowly man who had nothing, was arrested, beaten, tortured, nailed on a cross. That's why your sin costs. That's why you offend. That's your debt. Now take what this person has done to you, put it up against the cross of Jesus Christ and his death there, and tell me which one is worse. At least you're a sinner. You have sinned too, but Jesus didn't sin anything. He didn't do anything. At least you deserve hell. Jesus didn't deserve anything. But your sin caused him to go on a cross and die. That's just a slim picture. And you see, like, that's just the picture of how horrible it looks like in the physical. That he was beaten and he was nailed on the cross and he suffered all those things. But the real price, the real suffering that he endured were spiritual. And it's hard to describe those. You have to understand those by revelation. The fact that he was separated from his Father and had to cry on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Essentially, experiencing hell on that cross. That's the cost of your sin. Your sin caused the Son of God, the Holy One, to be nailed, to die, to be separated from everything that was good and endure hell on that cross. People were gathered out shouting, telling him, isn't this the one who healed other people? Isn't this the one who saved other people? Why don't you save yourself? He was spit upon. That was your sin. That was the cost of... That's what your sin did to God. That's what your sin did to God. Because his one and only Son to be nailed and to die and to bear the weight of your sin. And the fact is this, if you were the only sinner on earth, Jesus would still have come to die for you. Even if everybody else never needed any redemption or any mercy from God, if you were the one and only sinner, God who knows you by name, and Jesus who died for you individually would still have come and died. You take that and you put that against this, I don't know, this person who stole your car. And put that against the cross of Jesus Christ. And you understand that your debt is so much. You need to be forgiven. And you need to forgive the other person. And listen, this will be one of the reasons why there will be no mercy on Judgment Day. Because it will become clear to everyone how much we owed God. And it will become clear to everyone how unmerciful we were to other people. And as all of creation stands there, and they show your sins, and all the things you did against God, this huge debt. And then they show how Jesus suffered and died. And even in eternity, He's still bearing the marks of the fact that He was slain for your sins. And then they show you these other people that owed you $3, $4, and they show a video of you grabbing them by the neck, saying, "Pay me back," in whatever way you were doing that. And everybody watches that, and God says, "What should we do to this man?" And everybody cries, "No mercy for him, no mercy for him." That's how it will be like. There will be fairness to which all people will agree to. And therefore we must forgive. Not because the person didn't do anything to you. Not because you're wrong by saying that the person hurt you. Not because you're wrong by saying that the person caused you a lot of trauma. Not because you're wrong by saying that, you know, they owe you something. Yes, they do. And if you look at it, maybe if you look at it based on, you know, the debt that human beings usually owe each other, yes, on that scale, you may say, yeah, they owe me a lot. But if you put it on the scale of what you yourself owe God, no, by that scale, it's not much. But in any case, even if it were much, in order for God to forgive you of your debt, you have to forgive them. And in both cases, they cannot really pay you back, and you cannot pay them back. And you cannot pay God back. Release them so that God will release you. Forgive them so that God will forgive you. Bless them so that God will bless you. Now, just as a practical advice, this is something that I have tried in my own life and that I know works and that I will advise everyone here to do. If there is somebody who did something against you and you just find it hard to either get along with them or even just to forgive them, start praying for them. Take just 5 minutes. It's not easy to pray 5 minutes. People think that it is, or this is one thing that you'll find out when you start, if you keep track of what you do with your time. Keep track of how much time you actually pray. You'll find that it's very little. It's much less than what you thought. Try praying for 5 minutes for them. Pray. See what they need. Pray, ask God to bless them. Ask God to help them not to do this thing to other people. Ask God, "Lord, bless them with a walk with you. Cause this person who did this thing to me, cause them to come into a relationship with you. Cause them to come into a living relationship with you." Pray for them along those lines. Their first need is spiritual. Pray for them. You'll find that as you do that it's actually quite impossible to truly pray for someone and truly hold a grudge against them. That's one of the reasons I believe Jesus said, "Love your enemies, pray for those who mistreat and persecute you." I think in blessing them, in praying for them, you'll find that it's easier for your heart to forgive them, because in prayer your heart realigns with God. You start feeling, as you spend time in prayer, you start feeling like that. You start seeing that your heart start to feel like God feels. Your eyes start to see like God sees, and things start to line up. You start to see things the way God sees them. God begins to speak to you in prayer. Do this one day. Do this 3 days. Do this for a week. Every time you see grudge coming up in your heart, you know, you just pray for the person. Say, Lord, I release this person. They have sinned against me, but I confess that my debt against you was huge. But you forgave me. You cleansed my sin away. When we come to Jesus Christ and we give Him our lives, Jesus forgives our sins. And that's one thing I'll talk about next time, which is you need to be freed from your own debt. It is possible to have been forgiven by God, but to still bear the weight of your sin, as if God never forgave you. But pray for those people that hurt you. Say, Lord, I release them because you died for me and you forgave my huge debt. I also forgive them and I release them. As you pray like that, you see that your heart is being liberated. Unforgiveness is a disease. It will squeeze the spiritual life out of you. If you remain an unmerciful person, you'll see that it's impossible to be an unmerciful Christian. An unmerciful Christian is a contradiction. It doesn't exist. Because the person who doesn't forgive will not be forgiven by the Father. And listen, Jesus said, not just verse 35, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Not forgive them from your lips, but forgive them from your heart. It has to be real. There are some people, you know, let's face it, there are some people who, you know, you really don't like this person, but then they come around, you put a smile, you give them a handshake, say, oh, brother, how are you? That happens a lot in the church. People come and they say, oh, brother, how are you? And they, but in your, yesterday they were talking against you, but today they see you, they say, hey, yo, how are you doing? And they've not forgiven from their heart. There are some people who say, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. You haven't forgiven them from your heart. If you say something like that, you're an unmerciful person. And God will treat you the same. You'll go to God for your sins. God will say, okay, I forgive you, but I won't forget. I forgive you, but I'll see you on judgment day. And it won't be too good for you. When we forgive other people from our heart, and we forget, and we should forget, God also will forget our sin. The Bible says that God forgets. Listen, it's an amazing thing. God, who cannot forget anything, does nevertheless forgive our sins. It's a mystery. God, who cannot forget, yet forgets our sins. When we truly repent, when we come to Him, and when we are merciful to other people, God forgets our sins. So that if somebody came to the, if you had sinned before you came to Christ, before you gave Him your life, before you started walking with Him, before that time when Jesus came into your heart and by His blood He washed away all your sin, if you had murdered somebody and someone comes to you and say to you, you're a Christian, you a holy man, didn't you murder somebody? If you say to them, no, God doesn't remember them. God doesn't remember it. He has forgotten it and I have forgotten it also. God forgets. It's a very sad thing. God forgets, human beings don't. That's one of the reasons also you don't. Most human beings don't like forgetting. And the truth is, even if you've done good things to people, even if people have done good things to you, the truth is that you're most likely to remember the bad things they've done to you than the good things. I've been learning to get very honest about these sort of things. Whenever the devil comes and start putting some thought, and there's really, there are certain people about him, you know, the devil really come to me and say, this person did this thing to you. It wasn't that bad. And there is this temptation to just sit there and say, yeah, they did this bad thing to me. You're right. And you sit there and you look at how, what they did wrong to you from this side. You look at it from this side. And soon you start even adding some dimensions of your own to it. And at the end of it, you sit there and say, yeah, they really did something bad to me. And people love to do that. They love to sit by on their bed at night. We love to do those things. We sit by our beds at night and we see what this person did against us and how we're going to talk to them and how we're going to make sure that they really remember that they should never do this to us again. And that sort of thing. And when you do that, it's like opening your heart to the devil. He's coming to you and accusing this person to you and saying that Satan means the accuser. He's coming to you and saying, this person did this thing to you, didn't they? And you sit there and say, yes, Satan, you're right. He did that. And didn't they do this other thing also? Yeah, you're right. And by the way, they did also this thing. Yeah, that was true. Yeah, actually, they've been doing this to me all this time. How could I not see this? And you start examining this and sin. Soon, you know, you start making it worse than it was. You start forgetting even that there are two sides to every story after all. But even if your own really had that one side, and that one side was that they did something wrong to you, you don't want to be sitting there and allow the accuser to come there and you're having this good fellowship time with them over this person's sin against you. But in any case, when I've seen that happen to me, the moment these things against somebody comes, when I've allowed myself to go before God and say, no, I will not go down that path, I've actually seen God come to me and show me that that person actually did a lot of good things for me. I recently had to write to someone in particular, someone with whom I had a certain kind of trouble. Nothing that you might consider serious, but we just had a few differences on a few things. But I realized that along that path, I saw that our differences and the things on which we didn't agree on, somehow I'd allow that to overshadow the fact that this person actually did a lot of good things for me. And when God convicted me of that, and the good one thing that will help you a lot in your Christian life is this. When God convicts you of something, just go and repent. Don't allow this pride to come to you and try to justify and say, no, but it is true that they actually did do some bad things to me. No, 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 no. If God shows you that you have something to repent to someone, just go ahead and do it immediately. Email this person and tell her, you know, we disagreed on these things. And I think we still disagree on them. And I think we do still disagree on them. And I do think so far as, you know, the thing is concerned, I believe I was correct. And I still believe I am in my clearest conscience before God. But I told them it was wrong for me to allow that to overshadow the fact that you actually did do good things to me. And I listed some of them. Let me ask this person to forgive me for that. I'm sure it's probably true the other way on her side also. But you know, it's about what God convicts me to do, and I go ahead and do it. Maybe there are people like that in your life. Allow God to come and show you that there are actually good things that people did for you. And don't try to forget the bad things that people did to you. Make it a rule in your life. You will forget the bad things that people have done to you. And you will remember the good things they've done for you. This is practical Christian living. And if these things become true in your life, you will see blessings flow in the spiritual, in the physical, and other things. I believe that you'll see your prayers answered because the barriers of unforgiveness has been removed. You see prayers that people have been praying for you. Maybe people have been praying for you to be healed of something, and you haven't been getting the healing. It could be, possibly, maybe be that it's because there is unforgiveness in your life that needs to be taken away, and you know about it. Release that person so that God will also release you. I will stop here. This is a message that you want to go with before God and sort it out with pen and paper. Take the people who owe you things, write their names down, and write down what they owe you. Bring it up before God. Say, Lord, these are things that I believe these people owe me. These are the bad things they've done against me. Now I release them. Go through each one of them. Say, I forgive this person from this thing. I forgive them from this. And Lord, give me the power to obey them. Don't depend on your feelings. Forgive them. Release them. Pray for them. And then take that thing and tear it apart and throw it away. And from then on, let your heart be open to them so that one day when they come back to you, if someday they come back to you to repent, they will find that you had actually forgiven them a long time ago. And they will find in your heart an attitude and an atmosphere that is conducive to allow them to come and repent to you. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us to put this into practice immediately.